this is your Polycast for Monday, August 8th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, House Speaker Kurt Dowd faces a primary challenge and unexpected construction at the Capitol complex. Tomorrow is primary election day, and there are contested races in 28 of the state's 201 legislative districts. Minnesota House Speaker Kurt Dowd is the most notable incumbent facing a primary challenge. The state's highest-ranking Republican has also been facing an unusual amount of criticism from within his own party. Outside groups are also weighing in on both sides. Tim Pugmire has the story.
For voters in House District 31A, it's hard to miss the trailer park near Highway 65. Its Tea Party-sponsored billboard message says stop wasteful spending and Kurt Dowd. A recent mailing from the group called New Leadership PAC declared that Kurt Dowd can't pay his bills, but he'll raise your taxes. It's a veiled reference to Dowd's recent problems with personal credit card debt. An earlier mailer from the same group referred to a run-in Dowd had with police in Montana in 2013. Jack Rogers is president of the Minnesota Tea Party Alliance and the person responsible for the trailer. Rogers, who lives in the adjacent House district, said he feels Dowd has broken promises to cut taxes and spending.
I'm not pulling any punches, and I'm not cursing at anybody, but enough taxes, enough of all of the garbage. Stop, clean up the messes we have, give the people back their money.
Dowd, a third-term incumbent from Zimmerman, brushes off the criticism as the work of fringe groups.
I'm the best friend that they have in St. Paul right now. I'm the firewall. Our caucus is the firewall that's preventing all of the things that they want to prevent: higher taxes, more spending. And, you know, it seems to me it would be more productive and useful of their time if they would join forces with me and help me fight against those things rather than fight against me.
Dowd was first elected to the legislature in 2010. 2 years later, he was picked by House Republicans to be their minority leader. He led the campaign effort in 2014 that flipped control of the House and was then elected Speaker. He's often mentioned as a potential candidate for governor in 2018. But Alan Duff of Isanti wants to put the brakes on Dowd's political rise. Duff, a veteran small business owner and former member of the city council and county board, said he's challenging Dowd in the GOP primary because he's frustrated.
Well, I believe our politics in this state are just completely shattered. I'm tired of the backroom deals. I'm tired of the people not being served by the political elite or the political system. I believe we also need a conservative voice in St. Paul that's going to look out for the wallets of the citizens of District 31A.
Duff said he prefers not to criticize the incumbent, but then he did. Duff's chief complaint was Dowd's brief support last spring for an increase in license tab fees.
I believe that's something that the average person would rather see go in the other direction. I would support reducing that, not increasing it.
Dowd and Duff have a history. They served together for 2 years on the Isanti County Board. Dowd said he's proud of his record in county government and in the state legislature. He also contends he's more conservative and more effective than Duff.
At times you have to work with other people. I know that from my time on the county board that my opponent had trouble working with other people, and that's probably why he didn't get reelected.
Previous vote tallies show strong support for Dowd in a reliably Republican district. He was unopposed for reelection in 2014 and scored comfortable general election wins in 2010 and 2012. Nadette Walagora is a Dowd supporter who lives in Spencer Brook Township in Isanti County. She said she's admired his approach to politics for many years. Walagora said she thinks the recent criticism has been unfair.
I've talked to Kurt about all these situations that have come up as criticism about him and asked him questions and found that, you know, I believe things were taken quite out of context. And unfortunately, they're using that against him. So I think that he is above board in character.
There's been a lot of campaigning this summer in Dowd's part of the state. Two neighboring House districts and an adjacent Senate district also have Republican primaries. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The state's top election official is unwilling to predict what voter turnout might be for tomorrow's primary. The only statewide contest is for a state Supreme Court seat. Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon says the lack of any high-profile statewide races makes it hard to predict participation.
The primary is not consistent in terms of what the turnout is, and it depends so much on the candidates and on the campaigns and what's on the ballot. So I'm hesitant to put out a number or make a prediction because it's difficult to do in this particular kind of contest.
2 years ago, primary turnout was just over 10%. In 2012, it was 9.3%. The best year for an August primary was nearly 16% in 2010, which was the first year of the switch from September and also, of course, a year when there was a competitive gubernatorial race. The state capitol is still an off-limits construction zone these days as crews work to finish a $300 million restoration. But another key state government building across the street from the Capitol is about to get its own fix-up starting this week. It's an emergency repair job prompted by a broken water pipe that damaged five floors of the state office building, where House lawmakers have their main workspace. Brian Bax got a look around recently and has more on the undertaking.
It was in the wee hours in early July when Chris Givens' phone rang. The director of plant management for the Minnesota Department of Administration was told a failed valve had gone undetected, and water was everywhere.
You know, you have a sinking feeling, kind of like you're on a ship and it's going down.
Think of it like a garden hose running unattended for hours, but inside instead of outside. What started as a steady leak in the ceiling above the fourth floor bled through the tiles, onto desks, into carpet, on that floor, and filtered all the way down to the basement. Workers soon ripped out soggy carpet, drywall, and insulation. Some walls are pulled all the way back to the studs or cinder block. Legislators packed up belongings they could salvage, and their furniture is covered in plastic wrap. Work papers had to be laid out to dry, if they weren't ruined. The cleanup and demolition alone cost between $150,000 and $200,000.
To date, everything has been cleaned out, and now we're ready to replace or rebuild those walls, rebuild those ceilings, and put that carpet back down.
The estimate for that work came back about a week ago, $1.4 million to put in new wood, carpet, fixtures, wall coverings, and the like in the 84-year-old building. The goal is to get the job done sometime in October, displacing several lawmakers and their aides in the meantime. It'll be covered by insurance once the state pays its $100,000 deductible. There's one more wrinkle. State property managers have been urging for years that the building get a much more substantial renovation to replace aging pipes, heating and cooling systems, and other critical operation features. The cost for that could be tougher to swallow, as much as $100 million.
Even with this repair, the systems are still a few decades old and really do need to be replaced because they've exceeded their life expectancy.
But just as they celebrate the Capitol's grand reopening next year, lawmakers might be in no mood for another disruptive and expensive project so close to home. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.